God is the Lord. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. Lord, we don't take it lightly that we have our use of our body and our mind, Father, to come into the house and worship uniformly with the body of Christ. We thank you that you brought back those that were sick, those that weren't able to be with us. We thank you, Father, that you kept your hand upon them and brought them back, Father. We claim wholeness for their bodies and wellness, Father. According to your stripes, we are whole. We are healed. Father, I pray that you would bless each and every person that hears this message. Open their hearts, not just their ears, Lord, but open their hearts that they take the word in, that it would take root and grow, Father. The seed would grow and be a light in whatever time they need it. Holy Spirit, you bring it back to their remembrance. Let us be the men and women we are called to be. Bless each and every facet of this service today. May it be to glory and edify you. Holy Spirit, come. Come and baptize us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because within that we know there is power and there is strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you. The title that I have today is called Strength When I Am Weak. I don't know how many of you all have times when you're weak, but I do. I do. Sometimes it's a major thing that's happened in my life that I think is traumatic, or it may just be the constant pounding of the enemy coming against me. Just the little tiny things that spoil, the little tiny foxes that spoil the vine. The enemy is very intentional at knowing what to do and when to do it. So today, I want to give you a revelation that God gave me yesterday driving home from Cincinnati. And I could do nothing but hold the wheel and cry because it was so beautiful. And I know it's going to bless you because it blessed me so much. But I want to talk a little more about it before I get to it and explain it to you. So Isaiah 41 and 10 is where I want to start. And this is a promise that God made. And he's made that many times in the Bible. But this one says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness." I am thankful that none of that has anything to do with me other than I am a child of God. It is not my strength. It is not my help. It is not even my righteousness that brings all these promises to me. It's because I am a child of His. And when you remember and you know who you are in Christ and who God is, the enemy has no way of defeating you in anything unless you allow him to. So I was reading that scripture and I looked up the word for strengthen in the Hebrew or the King James Version. It says to be alert, physically on foot. We call that walking circumspectly. It's to be mentally encouraged and not C-O-U-R-A-G, courage. To have courage mentally to forego whatever it is that we need to do. It is to be steadfast. It is to be steadfast minded, to be strong, established, to be fortified. It is to be hardened and to have speed. Is there anything that you lack in the strength of God? He provided it all, didn't he? Mental, physical, the ability to do, the ability to be. It is amazing when God gets you through stuff. And you look back and you're like, God, I didn't even see you in the whole thing. I didn't even see you. I felt like I was left alone. I felt like I was abandoned. And yet all of a sudden, it all works out to your good, as the word promises. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, God is so good. What happened? I was down in the trenches about 3 days ago, and all of a sudden, this thing is working out, and I'm walking on the mountaintop. God comes in with that suddenly. And sometimes it's something that happens within days or weeks, but then sometimes you feel like you've been a week, a year, and you're still waiting to see God move. But if you will continue in the strength that he gives you in each day-by-day situation, he will move. It is a promise. Strength. I remembered the words of Jesus to Peter in Luke 22 and 31 and 32. We'll read that. And these are ones that I love to talk about a lot because, you know, Peter, I identify with Peter a whole lot. Peter was a little, he was a handful at times. Peter, you know, if anybody was going to do it or say it, it'd been Peter. And that kind of like me, without thought, without repercussion of what's going to happen later, I'm going to say it or do it. And this is, they're having the Last Supper. He's talked about his resurrection, that what is coming to happen. And he looks at Peter and he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now let me just tell you about your enemy. You're nothing special to him. You're just a piece of wheat. He's just trying to get to you, and he'll do whatever he can, as much sifting as he can, to get to you. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Not that his emotions would be right, not that he would make the right choices, but that his faith would not fail him. He says, and when thou hast converted or turned back, he says, strengthen thy brother. So purpose in whatever you're going through is not only to get you through, but it's to strengthen the brother. And we talk about it a lot around here. A lot of us have passed. A lot of us have passed we still won't talk about. We're not going to give anything great to the enemy, no praise for him. But there's a lot of things I can look back in my life and think, I can see the hand of God on my life. If not, I would not be here today. I know of two situations at least that I'm aware of. There was probably more God kept from me because of prayers of the saints, my family, and the call on my life. And I'm sure we all have those stories. But it's to strengthen the brothers. It's not to say and look down on somebody like, I don't know what's wrong with you, but, you know, some of us were just the same. we were a hot mess as well. But strengthen thy brothers. Everything has purpose. Everything has purpose. And I love that he said that your faith fail not. Faith, I love the Amplified version of definition of faith. It's Hebrews 11 and 1. If you look in the Amplified, it reads, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be explained by the physical senses. This is why you shouldn't live by your emotions. Don't live by your emotions. Faith is way beyond that. Faith is something that God give us. It's part of the gifts of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is something God gave us, and through each trial and each tribulation, each step that we go through, our faith is expounded and built upon. But if we never go through those things, we never have that faith that grows and matures with us. Revelation of God through Christ is faith. That's me. Christ died to give me the Holy Spirit so that I could have this faith. It's a gift from God. And once I realize what God has done in my life and I can see his hand moving and the revelation of who he is in my life, my faith grows. He brought me through this one yesterday. He brought me through that one the day before. And tomorrow I expect he will bring me through whatever comes my way. That is faith. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith, hearing in this sense of the scripture, is not just ears. It's hearing with your heart. It's the revelation of the word of God in your heart. What comes to your heart? Revelation of who Christ is. Now, the word of God, some translations said the good news of Christ. Again, we're going back to Christ. And notice it wasn't just Jesus, it's Christ. It's what he did for us, who he was. our Savior, our Christ. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is why it's so important for you to hear the Word of God. Not just here, but here. For you to read the Word of God, let it be revealed to you, because again, it's that increasing of your faith. It is that weapon that you wield when the enemy comes. Without it, you're a sitting duck, right? The enemy will have his way. He is like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Second Corinthians 12:9-10. You know, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them. He says, you know, I am weak, but that's okay. He sees his weakness, but he understands that there is a God who loves him, and Jesus Christ who died for him, and through him he has all that he needs. Let me just kind of read that. Go to the right chapter. And he said unto me, now this is, Paul had something that was, he had asked the thorn in the flesh, he called it. He'd asked that Satan was buffeting with, and God said, he'd asked him three times to remove it. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that the greatest thing in the world? To know when I am weak, I am strong. Through Christ, it's a strength that I don't have on my own, but it is mine through Christ Jesus. Strength when I am weak. A lot of us, we turn to other things when we're looking for strength, don't we? We turn to, you know, our boo, our bays, our husband, our supervisors, whatever the situation is, anybody that will give you an ear. But not everybody's for you, are they? Just because they're with you doesn't mean they're for you. And the Bible's full of that, and your life is full of that, I'm sure. Just because they bled don't mean that they're for you. I've experienced that firsthand. Just because they're bled don't mean they're for you. Nothing worse than being betrayed by family. Nothing worse. Betrayal's never good. But let's talk about the rock. On this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. And Pastor has taught us about, you know, he asked Peter, you know, whom do men say, you know, he asked him, who am I? Who do people say that I am? And of course, he chimes up and says, you know, he always has the voice. He says, you are Christ, the Son of, you know, the Son of God. And he says the strange thing to Peter. He says, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Not talking about Peter. That's when he changed his name to Simon to Peter. But he says, I'm going to build my church on that, what you just said, upon that rock. In other words, he was identifying himself with the rock that had been written about for ages and through the whole scripture. And I love that he talks about that. But even you go back even further in Isaiah 28:16, and it says, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Talking about Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11 brings that back again. He says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. He put the man, he put the God part in it, the Savior part. So there is no other foundation but Christ. When you go for strength, where do you go? You're not going to go for someone that's got sand under their feet. When the water's coming, I'm not going for the sand. I'm going to get a little further. I'm going to get up on the wood or the stone or the pavement. I'm going to go somewhere where the foundation is sure. How many times you've been walking on the beach and the sand give away and you find yourself on the beach? Many times. My son won't let me walk the beach without doing that. He's like, it's for sure she'll lose her footing and be gone. Even without the water coming and going, I can lose my footing and be gone because the sand is not sure. It's not sure, but Christ is the foundation. He is the rock that we're talking about today. David knew God was his strong rock. Even back then, David wrote many of his psalms, and I'll just read one, Psalms 18 and 2. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Gosh, he's got lots of titles, doesn't he? He does lots of things. "My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler," which was a shield that covered the whole body and protected you from the enemy's attack, "and the horn of my salvation." So the horn always signified in biblical times victory. Whoever carried the horn usually had victory. That was a person that had victory in their life. They had overcome and been victorious. So he's the horn of my salvation and my high tower. When we're going through the trials and the tribulations and all that we go through in our days, some by the enemy and some by our own flesh, where do you turn for your strength? You know, when I'm working on Mondays, you'll find at least one, maybe two cups of coffee at my desk, because I'm looking for that little kick, that little pick-me-up to get me through, because I have done all that I wanted to do this weekend, and I am wore out. And here I am on Monday morning trying to talk to people and function as a normal human being. But when I am weak, where do you go? Where do you go? Do you go? Is your first thought to pick up the Word of God and find a situation that works for you? It should be as a Christian, because that's where your strength is. Is your first thought to cry out to God for help? Most of us don't. Most of us cry out, but don't ask for help. We just crying. And most of the time we crying to somebody other than God. My poor husband, I'm finally learned to not turn him to everything. He gives me that, and I give him that. I don't tell him everything. He would be depressed if he knew all that stuff. And I would probably feel the same about his day. I've learned to go to the one who can make a difference. The lover of my soul. Not just my flesh. Just not what I can do for them. Not what somebody can talk about later. The one who truly loves me. He is where I get my strength from. And I'm going to tell you, he'll try you. The enemy will come. He'll see where you go and seek your strength from, and he'll use that to your disadvantage. He will. Don't think you won't. I bet if you sit down and thought about it, you would see in your life where the enemy has been so strategic in doing just that. And doing just that. Why do we go through all these trials? Why do we do all this? What's the purpose of all these trials and tribulations? Well, first of all, we ain't perfect. We have a flesh. We have a past. We have desires. We have things that carry us away if we're not careful. We have baggage. We have an enemy who's intentional. But 1 Peter 5 and 10 assures me that it's not all for nothing. It says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Notice it wasn't by you or your strength or anything that you did or didn't do. "But the God of grace through Christ Jesus, who called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while." Nobody likes to talk about that word, do they? Suffered. Do y'all suffer? I know I do. Sometimes I feel excluded. Sometimes I feel unwanted. sometimes I feel unloved. Sometimes even in the church, amongst those who are supposed to be my family. You all don't know nothing about that, do you? I grew up a minister's daughter. I've seen the worst that you can do in the church almost. And some of it was directed toward us, being my sister and I, against godly people, by godly people, who, when they couldn't find fault, made up something, brought it to the Father in a pastoral meeting, called it out in front of the elders. Most of it lies, probably all of it lies. I've been accused of witchcraft, amongst other things, in my youth. It's just amazing. But anyways, when you suffer, and you will suffer as Christ, you'll suffer because your flesh is crying out and you have an enemy. It says, after that you've suffered a while, it makes you perfect, established, strengthened, and it settles you. That's the promise through the grace of God by Christ Jesus, that I have that promise. Settled here means to be comfortable or rest in. If you ever gone through a trial and suffered and rested in it and settled in it, I'm still working on that one. I don't know about you all. If y'all conquered that part, let me know. It's okay when you see the enemy coming and you know him. And that's one of the reasons why we teach the way we do, is to teach you to see him coming. But there are times he comes up from behind or through a person that you thought loved you, or in a situation you thought was going to work out for you. I got some of the most disappointing news Wednesday. My heart was broken. It wasn't nothing to do with family. It was just something that, a work thing. And pastor sends me a text and asked me to teach. And I'm like, I don't even know that I can muster that up right now. My heart is broken. I'm disappointed. What I thought was going to be your will, the door has been shut. But I started drawing my strength from him, not from my emotions, not from my feelings, not from anything else. But I closed myself in the room and I just started talking to him. And I was like, I can't even do this without you, because my emotions are so raging right now. God, quiet your daughter, first of all, and then give me the word that you want taught and let me teach it. And I was able to do it. As good as I could, the best that I could. Where do you go when you need strength? Where do you go? Look at your life. Look at every situation in your life. Where have you tried to draw your strength from when the enemy comes home to you? I don't have your answer. I have my own. I can tell you it's a work in progress. There are times that I wish that I could say I always went to God, but I don't. I'm learning it's the only place to go. Sometimes I cry on the shoulder of others, and they couldn't help me. They couldn't change the situation. They couldn't do anything for me but consult me. Some of them couldn't even speak a word into my life. Be careful who you cry to. My time is almost up, and I want to reveal to you what God showed me yesterday as I was driving home from Cincinnati. Exodus 33. It's a very well-known scripture. We talked about it. We preach about it. We read about it. Talks about God had told Moses that he wasn't going to go with them anymore into the promised land. And Moses says, we can't go unless your presence go with us. This is why it's so important to have the presence of God in your life. You never know what the next day is going to bring, what the next phone call is going to reveal. You never know. And he asked God in 17, he said, you know, we can't go without you. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I think that's awesome, child of God. Do you know he knows your name? It's written on his hand. You're that close. Every movement, everything he does. Oh, there you are. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I am thankful he's not prejudiced. I am thankful he doesn't look at my past and say that I don't deserve his mercy. He gives it without favor. Praise God. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Where do you go for strength? Do you go to him? Do you draw near to him? Because that's the only place where you're going to find it. And I love what he says, and it shall come to pass when my glory passes by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So many times in my life, God has put me in the cleft of the rock. Do you know who the rock is? We've talked about him. It's where I draw my strength. He puts his hand up there and he puts me up against Christ and he says, I am going to show favor and mercy for you. It's working out for your good. I know you feel like you're up against the rock and all this is pressing against you, but I'm holding you up. And you're not going to see my working. You're not going to see that it will work out to your good until I pass by. And then you'll see my behind part. So many times in your situation, you can't see God working because he's got his hand over your face. He's holding you up against the rock, strengthening you, protecting you, being all that you need him to be. And then when he passes by and everything's worked out for his good, for your good, he pulls his hand down and you're like, there goes God. Now I see it. Now I understand why I'm here. Now I understand why I'm here. I didn't before. But now I see God. That is my word today to you. There's a lot of situations in your life you feel like you're pressed up against a rock. Well, let me tell you, that rock is Jesus Christ. He's holding you up. But you're not going to see it until it's done. Until it's done. Keep pressing. Keep standing firm. Keep standing on the rock, which is Christ Jesus. Keep doing what you know to do, child of God. For he will reveal it to you when the time is right. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you that in our most desperate times you find us. And you are true to your promise. That you are our strength, our rock, our salvation, our protection, our strong tower. Help us, Lord, to stand even when we can't see you working. Help us to stand as the children of the Most High God in integrity and in faith that it will all work out to you, Father, to your glory, to our good, and that we can stand here and praise you, Father. Praise you for your mercy, your grace, and your faithfulness. Help us, Lord Jesus, in our time of needing strength to draw near to you in peace and in quietness. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, not just what you can do, that you are the one that loves us first. In Jesus' name, amen.